You are now listening to Truth Crime, True Story Podcast Network on FetLife Radio and all your major platforms. Spotify, Amazon Music, Apple, iHeart. You don't want to miss the latest. Tune in and check us out.
The New York City Housing Authority, or NYCHA to many, is the largest public housing authority in North America. It's home to hundreds of thousands of residents. Many of us are raised in complexes just like these all across the five boroughs and wouldn't change it for the world. But life in the projects does have its challenges. Behind these walls are tales of love, family, and success, paired with tales of heartbreak and tragedy, many of which have been long forgotten. Incidents that have taken place over the years that leave scars on the community. Today's video discusses one of those stories, a tale of a teen who had her entire life ahead of her, only to end up in the hands of someone with truly evil intentions. And the details of her last moments would be among the worst that residents of the Washington houses have ever heard, even till this day. On today's episode of Evil Intentions, this is 14 Stories. The story of Shayna Mar-
There's a hidden 5-minute credit trick that millions of Americans are using to send their scores soaring. Have you tried it yet? If you're one of the 153 million Americans with a credit score below 720, chances are you've fallen for one of the three major credit score lies told by the greedy banks and credit companies. Lies that are keeping you trapped in an endless cycle of high interest rates, denied loans, and embarrassing credit declines, all while they get richer off your financial struggles. But here's the good news. One credit industry insider is finally exposing the truth, and he's revealed the simple 5-minute credit trick that thousands of Americans are already using to raise their scores much faster than they might have thought possible, even if they were in the low 500s before.
My score was 595, and my score is now across the board is over 700.
My wife's scores jumped 124 points.
I'm now well into the 800s.
But when I started, my scores were somewhere around the high 500s to low 600s. And within maybe around 6 months, I had climbed into the mid 700s. At that point, I was able to buy a house.
Ended up increasing my score by 60 points.
Followed the steps, I was able to take my credit score and raise it up 151 points.
My score has jumped up over 100 points.
I've been able to remove all 12 negative accounts on my credit report, and now my score is a 747. Coming from it being in the low 500s just 90 days ago, I mean, it's amazing. I want to tell my fiance as well. Her score at the time was in the low 500s as well. So I applied this information to her accounts. Now her score is over 730. This is a real blessing.
Just tap the link on this video right now to see how.
Looking to pay down your debt with a HELOC but don't want monthly payments? Then this is for you. A HELOC, or home equity line of credit, lets you borrow against your home's equity, but it often comes with a lengthy application process, strict debt to income requirements, and unpredictable interest rate fluctuations. Plus, it involves committing to monthly payments, which is why if you're looking to pay off debt all at once, you need to know about a home equity investment from HomeTap. HomeTap will invest in your home's equity and give you cash in as little as a few weeks that you can use to wipe out that debt with no monthly payments. And the best part is there's no proof of income requirements, which makes a home equity investment a great option for retirees or people with unpredictable income. You also have up to 10 years to settle. Tap the link below to get info on how to qualify.
Liz. Shayna Morales was born on August 25th of 1987. and resided in the Lower East Side and in Spanish Harlem. She was raised on the Lower East Side by her grandmother mostly into her teen years, when she would end up moving to Spanish Harlem. As a child, during her time on the Lower East Side, her grandmother had custody of her. Her parents separated when she was very young, and her mother struggled with substance abuse issues throughout the years. Despite her not having custody of Shayna, the mother and daughter maintained contact and saw each other on the weekends over the years. She would visit her mother at her apartment on East 111th Street. And after one of those visits, Shayna's mother would bring her to a friend's house a few blocks over in the Jefferson Houses, because her friend also had a daughter. She was a few years younger than Shayna was, but she figured that they would get along. Shayna had siblings, a brother and a sister from her father's side, but she wasn't raised with them, so she saw this as a chance for her daughter to bond with a girl around her age. It would take almost no time for the young girls to become close. They were fast friends and had more in common than they thought. Shayna and her new friend would become close pretty much instantly. The girls didn't have many friends before meeting each other, so from that day forward, they were inseparable. At this point, Shayna was about 11 years old, and her friend was around 8. Their bond would become so strong that they were more like sisters. They would spend their time listening to their favorite music, sharing different artists with each other. They could do that for hours. They loved music. When they first met, it was the era of boy bands like NSYNC and Backstreet Boys, along with the rise of powerhouses like Britney Spears and Christina Aguilera. It was all over the radio, all over TV, and it was spreading like wildfire. Shayna and her friend couldn't get enough of it. They would spend hours together sifting through teen magazines, sharing the posters of their favorite group members. Shayna was obsessed with NSYNC's JC, while her friend had a huge crush on Justin Timberlake. Simpler times that they never took for granted. If they weren't listening to their favorite songs, they could be found on Shayna's fire escape talking for hours, or with a boombox playing their music. They would also spend time a few blocks over in the Jefferson Houses, where her friends still resided. They always hung out around the area and made a lot of friends there together. Her friend found it much easier to socialize with others after meeting Shayna. They had such a strong connection that it gave them both a new sense of confidence. No matter what, they knew that they would always have each other. They would find themselves becoming closer and closer over time, spending every weekend together whenever Shayna visited her mother. She would also bring her friend with her whenever she went downtown to visit her father. She wasn't raised by him, but she would see him and his side of the family over the years. Shayna was described by loved ones as funny, driven, brave, and very intelligent. She loved music and poetry, known for her long blonde hair, hazel eyes, her big smile, and loud, contagious laugh. She was overprotective of those she became close to, known to protect her friend from bullies and offer advice whenever possible, in the same way that a big sister would. She definitely understood how it felt, because she had experienced bullying herself while going to school. She truly cared about her friend, and didn't want to see her go through the same things that she went through. After visiting every weekend for years, this is when Shayna decided that she wanted to move up to Spanish Harlem with her mom, so she could be closer to her friend and continue going to school. But after this move was when certain things would begin to change, and not always for the best. She attended the Academy of Environmental Science Secondary High School, located at 410 East 100th Street. It was here that she would experience that bullying herself, with some calling her names and making fun of her height because she was taller than other girls her age, standing at about 5'7 or 5'8. Shayna had been a good student in the past, and had even expressed wanting to continue her education so she could one day become a lawyer. She always attended class, but due to the bullying, she would begin to lose motivation and started to dislike school more and more. She also had a lot more freedom living with her mother, which was very different from living with her grandmother, whom was known to be very strict. She began hanging out with new kids that she had met, and sometimes they weren't the best influence. She was starting to cut class, get home late, and on occasion, didn't come back home at all. Too much freedom for a teen can be a bad thing, and Shayna's behavior continued to change. While she was acting out and spending time with new people, she never acted different with her friend that she was closest to. They remained as close as ever, but things were about to shift in a way that neither one of them expected.
Thank you for calling Penny, PA's official health insurance marketplace. How can I help?
So I hear there's open enrollment and I really need coverage, but I don't know where to look.
Penny.com is the right place to start.
But I'm worried about the cost of coverage and my prescriptions.
We hear that a lot. Penny has high quality health plans at the lowest cost.
What a relief to be covered.
You're worth protecting. Enroll by January 15th at Penny.com. Paid for with Pennsylvania taxpayer dollars.
The day was Saturday, September 7th of 2002. Shayna spent part of her day with her friends at the nearby basketball courts that were on 110th Street between 2nd and 3rd Avenue, just talking and joking around like they normally would. It was then that she would ask her best friend if she wanted to go to a party that she had been invited to. For days, flyers had been passed around the neighborhood about a party being held in a first floor apartment at 219 East 97th Street. The party was said to be for ages 18 and older. Her best friend knew that she wouldn't be able to go, because even if it was an all-ages party, she wouldn't be allowed by her grandmother, given her age. After spending much of the day together, it was time for them to go their separate ways. Shayna then walked her friend near her apartment, gave her a hug, and her friend headed home. They had plans to see each other the next day, but that would never happen, because shortly after that night, Shayna, now 15 years old, was nowhere to be found. Her best friend tried to reach her the next morning on Sunday, but got no response. She tried again on Monday and Tuesday. Nothing. No word from Shayna, which was highly unusual. On Wednesday, the 11th, her friend went to Shayna's mother's apartment looking for her, knocking on her door, hoping to get a response. Nobody answered. Hours later, Shayna's best friend would receive devastating news. She was told by someone who also knew Shayna that something terrible had happened. Shayna wasn't just missing. Her life had been taken. In shock, Shayna's friend demanded answers, trying her best to absorb what she was being told, feeling at first like this was some sort of sick joke. After asking many questions and trying to find out if it was true, she would learn that the party had taken place at the Washington Houses, although she was unsure exactly which building. She left her home as quickly as possible and took to the streets, making her way toward 97th Street with the mutual friend who had informed her of what happened. Of course, it wasn't the safest thing for a young girl to be walking into that sort of situation. As Shayna's friend walked toward 97th Street, she bumped into a woman she knew, and she would suggest going to the precinct instead because there was word around the way of an unidentified woman's body that had been found in the grass at Washington Houses. She did exactly that. She would go on to tell authorities that her best friend was missing, and she had reason to fear that this unidentified victim might be her. She was immediately questioned. They asked what she was last seen wearing and what she looked like. It was then that they took out a big manila envelope and spread a series of photos across the table. They were pictures of a girl, her body bruised, battered, mangled, and fully nude. It was Shayna. She was immediately overcome with shock. Seeing her friend laying there, lifeless, was earth-shattering. All she wanted to do was leave, and told authorities that she needed to go, but they kept her there, letting her know that she needed to call her mom to be picked up, because they had no way of knowing if she could be in danger herself. She called her mom, and her mom called Shayna's father's family. Word quickly made its way around, and about a half hour later, Shayna's mother arrived at the precinct, distraught and hysterical. The grief set in immediately for the family, who had no idea how she ended up this way. Her mother assumed that she ran off with her boyfriend because it was something that she had done in the past, so she never bothered reporting her missing to the authorities, but she did tell a caseworker for Children's Services that she hadn't seen her daughter in days. She had last seen her on Saturday, the 7th, around 9 p.m., after giving her $10 to go to an arcade, later learning that Shayna went to the party instead. That report with Child Services would play a role in identifying her body. All the family had were questions. Who was she with? How did she end up how she did? Later that same day, they would start to get answers. Through their investigation, authorities were quickly led to a 21-year-old man named William Hernandez of East Harlem. He was at that same party. When he was first questioned, they knew he was suspected of doing something to a girl who had attended, but Shayna hadn't yet been identified until a little while later. At this point, she was just described as a Hispanic woman in her teens or early 20s who suffered disfiguring head trauma. Hernandez was questioned for hours, and authorities noticed that he had scratches and bruising on his face and body. That's when he gave them one of several versions of his story. He said he knew Shayna before the party and had been with her while there. He said it was consensual, even though she was just 15 years old and couldn't consent. He then changed his story and said he left the party early, and the scratches on his face and chest came from a fight with his girlfriend after he got home really drunk with the help of a friend. Then, the details changed once again. He said he had been on the roof of 219, but had been with another girl entirely, not Shayna. After hours of questioning and details that didn't add up, he would say again that he and Shayna were together, and it got rough. He said she caught an attitude and began to cry when he slammed her head against the wall by accident. That's when she began to hit him and scratch him, before climbing over the ledge of the roof and going over. He blamed it all on her, but the forensic evidence discovered told an entirely different story, a much more horrific one. According to reports, authorities and neighbors believe that Shayna and Hernandez might have seen each other around and possibly knew of one another in passing, but they weren't friends. The truth about what happened was that the 5'9", 150-pound Hernandez had taken Shayna to the roof and violated her a total of 4 times. It's unclear if she went willingly or was brought up to the roof by force, but evidence suggested that she tried to fight him off, which is why he had all those scratches and why his DNA was found under her fingernails. When she tried to defend herself, he would begin smashing her head and face into the brick wall of the roof before using his bare hands to punch her teeth in. This was why her face and head looked disfigured from the beginning. He then took her, lifted her over the 3-foot wall of the roof, and threw her, sending her nude body crashing to the grass below. His fingerprints and her blood could be found on the roof where it all happened. He took the clothes that she wore, which would have been a light blue jacket with the words Anchor East on the collar, light blue acid wash jeans, and a gray shirt, and tried to set them on fire to get rid of any evidence. But after he was unsuccessful in doing so, he opted to throw her clothes in a nearby trash can instead, hoping they wouldn't be found. He then went home to sleep, as if nothing happened. It was also stated that when he got home to his then-pregnant girlfriend, he made threats on her life, as they argued, painting a different picture of who he was claiming to be. When her body was found, she was taken to Metropolitan Hospital Center. She had long succumbed to her devastating injuries. Police still had questions. They wanted to know if there was anyone else involved. For a moment, they thought this might have been the work of known criminal Luis Acosta, who had been known to violate women and escape the headquarters of the Bronx Detective Squad a few months prior. He was still on the loose and believed to be in the city. He was eventually ruled out, and all the evidence pointed at Hernandez. He was charged with second-degree murder, depraved indifference to human life, and violating 15-year-old Shayna Morales. The news would come as a shock to everyone in the neighborhood. This area was no stranger to violence, but this was particularly cold. Nobody wanted to believe that a child could experience such horrible last moments, or that monsters like this were roaming in their streets. But it was true. It was awful for her family, who found themselves struggling. Sometimes kids go down a wrong path before maturing, but they'd never imagined that something like this would happen. She deserved every chance to fix things. We were all kids once. You never expect for this to be the outcome, but this was now their reality. A life where Shayna was no longer here, and the painful details of it all were in the papers and on the evening news. Her mother was vocal about wanting Hernandez to pay for what he had done to her daughter. She had the following to say after the arrest. he took an innocent girl.
Everyone knows you as a problem solver, and you know who to call to help keep your operation running.
I want him to suffer for the way he made my baby suffer. She taped a photo of Shayna to the front of their apartment building and lit candles in her memory. Those in the neighborhood offered condolences and stopped by to see the growing memorial, still very much in shock at what had taken place. By this point, many knew Shayna or knew of her through mutual friends. It made other girls her age feel like this could have happened to them, a very unsettling feeling. Shayna's best friend felt torn apart. This wasn't just her best friend, this was someone she saw as a sister. And now, she was ripped away from her and would never be coming back. She felt extreme guilt over the years, thinking to herself that had she said yes and just gone to that party with Shayna, maybe things would be different. Maybe she could have done something to stop it. When she said goodbye to her that night before she went to that party, she could never guess it would be the last time that she would ever see her alive. The truth was, this wasn't her fault at all. Had she gone, she likely would have been in the same danger and possibly suffer a similar fate. While the reality of what was done to Shayna was just about as horrible as you would imagine, the family's pain wouldn't end anytime soon. They now faced a daunting task, laying Shayna to rest. A service was held for her at a nearby funeral home where loved ones attended to pay respects. Her best friend went, knowing that this would be the last time that she would ever be this close to her. Shayna lying on all-white coffin, covered in flowers. Some found it very difficult to suppress their anger, as they felt that Shayna should have never been allowed to have the freedom that she had at her age. But it couldn't change anything. She was gone. After her service, her body was driven to Rosedale and Rose Hill Cemetery in Union County, New Jersey, where she would be buried. After her life was taken, the story would stick around for some time. Stories of the young girl who suffered those cruel last moments could be heard everywhere in Spanish Harlem. But to her family and best friend, she wasn't just some girl in the papers. This was Shayna, the lively, smart, driven girl that they loved. Nothing in the world could make them forget what happened. Her future was ripped away in a matter of minutes, all because one monster decided he wanted to not only take advantage of her, but to take her life so she couldn't tell anyone what he did. Residents of 219 remembered hearing all the noise coming from the first floor on the night of that party. There was yelling, loud music, and bottles being tossed out the window into the streets. A resident was quoted as saying the following: "They were throwing bottles, knocking over garbage cans. It was terrible. Everybody had a feeling that something very bad was going to happen that night." They had no idea just how right they were. Young people partying means there's sure to be some commotion, but for it to end with a heinous and vile crime like this, it was sickening, to say the least, especially when they learned that Shayna was just a child. Details of the awful crime left many who never even met Shayna or her family demanding that this monster pay for what he did. Getting some form of justice was all that was left. By January of 2004, a trial for William Hernandez was underway. Prosecutors would describe Shayna's last moments to a jury in graphic detail. Assistant DA Bonnie Sard said the following: "Try to imagine what she went through on that roof. She was only 15 years old. Imagine the struggle she put up on the ledge." She then went on to make the defense team sound foolish for their claims that Shayna would climb over the ledge and do this to herself, or that it was consensual in any way. It was extremely disrespectful and plain sickening. The jury wasn't buying his story. On Thursday, January 22nd of 2004, William Hernandez was found guilty on all charges. Shayna's mother could be heard crying and yelling in excitement at the decision. She had felt powerless before this, dealing with her own guilt, but she knew that now her daughter could rest easy, and the person responsible was going to pay for his disgusting crime. On Tuesday, February 17th of 2004, the now 23-year-old Hernandez was sentenced to 40 years to life in prison, with the possibility of parole after 38 years. Shayna, who had hopes and dreams just like the rest of us, will never come back home. She's forever remembered by her mother, father, and the rest of her family. She's remembered by her best friend, whose life changed for the better the very moment they met. A child going down a bad path in life doesn't always equate to a bad ending. Many of us had childhoods similar to hers, and we've come a very long way. She should have had a chance to get back on the right track, a chance to reach her goals and thrive, a chance to grow old, maybe start a family if she wanted to. Those hopes were dashed on the rooftop of 219 East 97th Street at the hands of a monster. The morning that she was tossed over that edge, left in the grass, lifeless, as if she meant nothing, when she meant everything to her loved ones. William Hernandez would maintain his innocence even after sentencing. His lawyer had the following to say. He understands what happened to the Morales family and empathizes for the loss of Shayna Morales, but in no way does he say he's guilty of what happened to Shayna Morales. He believes that other courts will find that he did not cause the death. Hernandez remains in prison till this day and will be eligible for parole in July of 2040. Just as quickly as her name was in the headlines, what took place at 219 was mostly forgotten. Not to those in the area who followed the story, but outside of the city, it would be hard to find anyone who had even heard of this happening. Living in places like these, in a sea of headlines, day in and day out, and just from word of mouth alone, you hear stories like this all the time. It comes to a point where we become desensitized. We forget what these victims went through, how these families and friends suffered in the aftermath of it all, still dealing with that grief till this day. While everyone else might find it easy to forget, for them, forgetting is impossible. If alive today, Shayna would be 37 years old. Rest in peace, Shayna Morales, and my deepest condolences go out to her loved ones. You aren't forgotten.
Tune in every week to True Crime 2 Story Network and check out the latest news. Thank you.